Okay, well, our next speaker is me. And I didn't write myself a little blurb like I did for everybody else, but let me just say once again that I'm the Director of Research Utilization at Family Health International. I've been working in the reproductive health business for way longer than I like to think about, and I'm trained as a behavioral scientist, but these days I spend a lot of time thinking about how to get somebody to take a piece of evidence and inject its use into a service delivery program. So it sort of intersects with scaling up a lot. My topic for today is building momentum for innovation, and I'm going to use the community-based distribution of Depo-Provera as the example. And what I'd like to do is say a few words about what CBD of DMPA is. I want to spend most of my time talking about the strategy that we've been using at FHI to scale up CBD of DMPA in Africa. I want to spend a few minutes trying to relate our experience to the ExpandNet framework, and I'd like to end with a few words on lessons learned and possibilities for the future. At this point, I'm supposed to disclose any conflicts of interest, so let me state that I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests that are relevant to this presentation. Okay, I just want to start with a little bit of terminology. When we use the conventional term CBD for consistency and to embrace activities carried out by community members with limited clinical training. Under this umbrella term, we include paraprofessionals, health extension agents, nursing assistants, community health workers, etc. When we say injectable contraceptives, we're referring specifically to DMPA, and that's depomedroxyprogesterone acetate, also known as Depo-Provera. There are other injectables out there, and some of our experiences might be generalizable, but for our purposes today, we're only talking about Depo-Provera. When we talk about promoting DMPA, CBD of DMPA, we're talking about promoting it in the context of a balanced method mix and with the goal of increasing client choice. We're not talking about promoting DMPA to the exclusion of other methods. And finally, when we're talking about adding DMPA, we are talking about adding DMPA to existing programs. We're not talking about creating new vertical programs just to do CBD of DMPA. The programs that we work with for this innovation are already running, they're already funded, and they've met the criteria showing that they're strong enough to support introduction of a new method. I'm also not going to spend a lot of time talking in this presentation about the details of the intervention because that's been done in print and in person elsewhere. But I will, just to standardize everything, say that DMPA is a contraceptive has been proven safe and effective. That CBD of DMPA has been proven programmatically feasible through historic experience in Asia and Latin America, and recent results, research results in Africa show that it's safe, feasible, and acceptable there. More generally, research on contraception suggests that if clients are provided with a choice of several methods, they're more likely to use a method. We think that CBD of DMPA has great potential value in places that are plagued by poor access to health services, where the majority of the population live in rural areas and they have to travel great distances to receive care. We think that CBD of DMPA is a great example of rational redistribution and exemplifies the WHO task shifting framework, a process whereby medical tasks are delegated to less specialized health workers. And lastly, that we think that CBD of family planning, in particular CBD of DMPA, is one of USAID's priorities for positioning repositioning family planning. Now, as a family planning agency, FHI has long been concerned about the low rates of contraceptive use in many African countries, especially in rural areas. We knew of historical experience with CBD of DMPA in Asia and Latin America, particularly when prevalence rates in those countries were low, as they are in Africa now. Even back then, we could see that the popularity of DMPA as a method was starting to increase in Africa, and we asked ourselves why CBD of DMPA had never taken off in the African context, and wasn't there something we could do to make this practice more widespread? Over time, we developed a multidimensional strategy for expansion that had five main components, and it's on the slide, basically to boost scientific evidence base for the African context, to conduct advocacy activities at global technical leadership level, to provide technical assistance at country level, to expand geographically within countries after successful pilots, and to expand geographically across countries. Each component of this strategy was intended to be mutually reinforcing with the others. Even though there's a sense of the sequential in the strategy, the general notion was to conduct all of the components as simultaneously as practicality would allow. Taken as a whole, the strategy was intended to create a momentum for CBD of DMPA. In the next few slides, I'll say a bit more about each of these components. It took us a number of years to find a country that would even allow us to conduct a pilot research study on CBD of DMPA, and John Stanback, who conducted that study, is in the audience. He could probably tell you the exact number of years it took, but it took a while. Now, it's worth noting here that a serendipitous change in the leadership in the health system in Uganda gave us our first opportunity. Since then, we've done two studies in Uganda. The first one was more of a proof of concept, focusing on safety and feasibility, and the second one is focusing more on follow-up and continuation. In Madagascar, the government was already really very interested in CBD of DMPA, so that wasn't a hard sell when we approached them about initiating pilot research there. Still, our experience in Madagascar has allowed us to demonstrate the viability of this practice in a second setting, and it's really helped us to improve our documentation of how to go about installing this practice in existing service delivery systems. Kenya and Nigeria are still in some pretty early stages. Their versions are really more pilots with enhanced monitoring and evaluation as opposed to straight-up research studies. But we like this because we think that it's a validation of our strategy of using the enhanced scientific credibility from previous research studies to reduce the burden of new research that you have to do in every replicate country. In all of our research, the focus has been on adaptation to specific service delivery environments and to addressing local concerns. In parallel with conducting research, we planned for and executed a multifaceted approach to advocacy at the global technical leadership level, and it has a lot of bits to it. I don't think I'll say a lot about the bits. You can read them. But the main objective of activities at this level, from our point of view, is improved awareness of and knowledge about the practice among actors in the global community. We think this leads to a greater perceived legitimacy of the practice and downstream higher quality discussions with partners at country level, both of which help to create the momentum for expansion. In each situation we enter into, we plan and execute, to the extent practicable, a multidimensional program of activities. We try to use this package in every country that we go to. Some may have more emphasis on one bullet and a little less on another. I would like to say, I won't go into detail on all of them, but in particular with stakeholder involvement, we do a lot of work with stakeholder involvement up front, working with some kind of core team or working group in a country, doing conferences and workshops for people, connecting with the professional organizations, working with civil society, working with media, and having conversations with donors, particularly with scale-up in mind. This is a plug for our book. We've managed to produce over the course of coming out of our experiences what I think is a very nice implementation manual for CBD of DMPA. It's basically a step-by-step how-to guide. It's very comprehensive, and it's got all kinds of tools and very practical things that people would need in order to help install this. I won't belabor it, but there should be some copies of this at the FHI booth. You can contact us if you're interested in any of them, and I should mention that they're available in English and in French. The fourth element of our strategy was to expand geographically within countries after successful pilots. And at this point, I'm going to stop and say that our original partnership began with Save the Children in Uganda, and that Save the Children has been a terrific partner. We've been working with them for years, and they really deserve a lot of the credit, a huge amount of credit for advancing CBD of DMPA as a practice. This is a map of Uganda, and our original study in Uganda was in the districts that are shown in red. And after we did the successful pilot, Save the Children is expanding the practice into some other districts that they support. These ones over here in, I don't know, what is that, Brown or Burnt Sienna or something. But in Uganda, we've also kind of got a nice second generation flow going where Save the Children, with some support from us, is helping other local NGOs introduce the practice in their own districts. These ones in bright green here are districts supported by the Minnesota International Health Volunteers, and these kind of, God, I don't know what color that is. It's down in the bottom corner there, sort of a light beige maybe. Are districts that are being supported by conservation through public health. In Madagascar, our strategy for expanding within country, it really is much more straight up handover to the bilateral. You know, FHI is not really mandated or resourced to, you know, scale up things in all over the world. We're more of a technical assistance agency. But in Madagascar, the government's been very interested, and we've been working through the bilateral there with a lot of local NGO support. FHI's role there has been mostly ongoing technical assistance for scale-up planning and among other things. The fifth element of our strategy has been to expand geographically across countries. And again, I won't go into a lot of detail on this, but we've, when WHO had their meeting on CBD in Mali last year, we sponsored participants from Madagascar to go and contribute their experience with CBD of the MPA. We were invited to present this year at the State of the Art meeting in South Africa, and we've done a number of South-to-South exchanges where people from countries like Nigeria and Tanzania and Malawi and Zambia go and visit the programs in Uganda and in Madagascar so that they can see for themselves how does it work and how it might fit into their situation. Okay. Putting this presentation together, I really wanted to do kind of a lockstep. You know, how did what we do match or map onto what the ExpandNet people are talking about these days? And our strategy for implementing DMPA, CBD of DMPA really predated a lot of the scale-up framework that ExpandNet is talking about. But I want there were a couple of things on this types of scaling up that I just wanted to make note of. And I'm going to take them in reverse order from this slide. First of all, let me just say that it's great to have a framework for conceptualizing and planning purposes. It really helps sort out where, what you ought to be doing, what needs to happen. You know, it's a great guide for action. But we found that it's very hard at times to draw hard lines between the types of scale-up in the ExpandNet framework. For example, one of the things that attracted our attention to CBD of DMPA in the first place were two spontaneous underlying trends. First, the increasing popularity of DMPA as a method in Africa, and also the increasing lack of human resources in the health sector. So in that way, CBD of DEPO actually addresses the organizational, managerial, and cost issues that are already posed by some by the spontaneous increase in demand for DMPA in a human resource constrained setting. So, you know, it was already spontaneous before we got there, and the way we're superimposing a little bit of order or a reaction to a response to that spontaneous increase. Now, in terms of the ExpandNet framework of CBD of injectables is also a true example of diversification or of this adding another method onto an existing CBD program. And that's fine because diversification may help in innovation in terms of cost or relative advantage or economy of scale or ease of installation or compatibility with an existing system or some kind of thing like that. But once those factors are accounted for, each innovation, whether it's grafted or not, still needs the same kind of vertical or horizontal planning and execution as if it weren't a grafted innovation. So from that point of view, I wanted to note that diversification one, it's not qualitatively the same as the other types of scaling up, and maybe expand that. Would like to look at that. I think it's probably more of a subtype. Another thing I wanted to was reflecting on was that we've been working with really two different aspects of horizontal scaling within countries and across countries. And even though there are similarities, our experience has been that the needs and means of expansion across countries are in some ways qualitatively different from the needs and means of expanding within countries. And this is probably another place where the theory people need to continue to explore. And my last point is that for the vertical scaling really entails a fair amount of interactivity between what happens at a national level, what happens at a social level, and then how country-level experience informs global technical leadership. In our case, a successful pilot study can really improve policy legitimacy at a global technical leadership level, and that can then make it a lot easier to have policy gains at a country level, which allows you to scale up again. So it's another thing we should keep after trying to tease out how exactly that works. Okay, lessons learned. Having a framework to facilitate diagnosis and to guide action is really a good thing to have. We really applaud the ExpandNet people and other people like Management Sciences International that work on this. It helps us a lot. That said, the process of scale-up we've found really isn't very linear. And in our practice of it, we found that it's important to be really tight on focus, to know what you want to do, but then to be rather loose on implementation and to use your flexibility to allow you to take advantage of opportunities when they come up. I think, as I mentioned before, serendipity matters. I mean, I hate that, from an academic point of view, but a lot of this is about people and politics and timing and, recognizing opportunities and being able to capitalize on them when they come up. So I don't want to say it's all luck. You make your own luck in a lot of ways, but you have to be ready for luck when it shows up. Lastly, I wanted to say that perseverance really matters if you want something to happen. It's not going to happen by itself, and you probably have to keep after it for a long time. Future directions. A couple of things that we'll probably keep doing are trying to improve the global legitimacy of CBD of DMPA as a practice. And I think that there's no question that we'll continue to support service delivery agencies who, are interested in taking this up as something that they'd like to add to what they do. We'd like to make some more connections with the various task-shifting efforts that have started up in the last few years, gotten underway. As a research agency, we're always interested in new areas of research, and we think that this one has some nice properties for cost research and sustainability research. And I just wanted to put the notion of subcutaneous depot out onto the table here, because that can really make for changes in the environment around this method, having to do with home delivery, self-injection, other community distribution points, and social marketing. So that's what I've got to say. I appreciate you coming to listen. And if you want to have more information, you can always find some information about it on our website, or you can contact Kirsten Kruger, who's our point person for CBD of DMPA. And that's her email up there. Thank you. I have time for a question if somebody wants to ask one. Okay. There's some time to reestablish fertility. I'm probably not the person to ask about exactly how long that might be. I know that if there were huge problems with return to fertility, that that would be. We wouldn't be pushing that too much. Dr. Huber.
The return of fertility is related to when the drug disappears, which is about 4 months after stopping or 7 months after
Okay, thank you. And in any of our any program that we get involved with, that's like I say, they're all CBD programs that are already up and running. They're already talking to people about the methods that they provide. We go out of our way to make sure that the people who are handing this out know about you know, any side effects or any you know, issues that have to do with CBD of DMPA. In fact, talking to your neighbor about your contraceptive method, you may actually get at least more attention and maybe sometimes more better information than you would in your very short window of time talking to a nurse or a doctor in a clinic. Again, Dr. Hubie, would you like to contribute there? You know, that's a whole other thing. FHI does have in the research utilization world, we do actually have some projects, and we're doing some work on something that I like to call target, tailor, and tip, which builds on, you know, theories of behavior change, finding early adopters, and finding ways to influence them, some of them evidence-based and other ones not, more social networking approach to that. But that's a whole other presentation than I don't know, maybe Global Health Council in the spring. I've probably run over my time a little bit, so let me introduce our last speaker. Right.